Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. I wonder how you heard the gospel lesson this morning. How did you hear it? Blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the hungry, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. How did you hear that text this morning? I don't know about you, but I grew up and even studied this text as a really just lovely, nice text. It's one that we always love to hear. And in fact, you know, those of us who've been preaching for over 30 years think we've kind of run out of stuff to say. Because it's just so nice. And it gives this vision of how we think things should be. And all of that is true. But is this a message that you hear in your daily life? Is this one that you hear in popular culture or in your workplace? When you go to a board meeting or a courtroom, do they start out with, "Blessed are the meek"? When you watch TV, how often does this come up? Not very often. This is certainly one of our favorite and most comforting texts, and it washes over us with a joyful light and a kind of hopefulness that we need to hear. Jesus has just finished calling his first four disciples. You know, the crowd has come. They've been overwhelmed by people who want to hear Jesus, and he takes them off a little ways off from where they were and shares these words with them. But I'm not sure that they're intended to be the kind of relaxing, nice words that we expect. The word for blessed is makarioi. Blessed, blissed out, happy. It's translated lots of different ways. In one of his talks this weekend, our new bishop, David Nagler, pointed out the work of Roxanne Whitelight, a Maui-based scholar, an Arabic scholar, who has sort of reverse-engineered this text. Jesus most likely spoke Aramaic. Well, we just don't have that text in Aramaic, so Roxanne reverse-engineered. She took the Koine Greek, which is the oldest form of the text that we have, and she put it back into Aramaic as best she could. And she translates the word makarioi as the time is ripe. The time is ripe. Now, when you think of that text, this text in that way, the time is ripe for the poor in spirit. The time is ripe for those who are mourning. And she does a whole lot more translation with this. Blessed, we say, blessed are the meek, but the time is ripe for the meek. Our understanding of the text is radically changed. We need to remember that Jesus is speaking in the time of the Holy Roman Empire, or the Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire will come later. But the Romans are coming. They're there. They are the conquerors. I doubt that those in charge heard this text in the same way that you heard this text. In this early text, Jesus is already outlining his radically different and prophetic ministry that will play out with his disciples and with all of us. Underneath those words, which are so tamed these days, so much so that they tend to be comforting, and they really are from our perspective, is a not-so-veiled criticism and warning to the Romans. And it's authoritarian and sometimes cruel, cruel way of ruling. It is doubtful, I think, that the words Jesus spoke would be comforting to them. Because it's the empire. It's the rulers who are the cause of the mourning and the hurt and the death and the need for mercy. We miss that sometimes in this text. That much of the mourning, death, hopelessness, hunger, fear, and unrighteousness really is caused by those who have placed themselves in charge. And like in any conquest, the tools of violence, disenfranchisement, and dis-ease, are used to advance the interest of those in power at the expense of community and dignity and love. Using the White Light translation, the time is ripe. When we use that particular translation, those buried under the dominant rule begin not only to get a peek of what might be and what might be possible, they get a peek at what God has already declared to be true. This text that Jesus speaks is not aspirational. It's observational. It's not that the time will come when those things will happen. It is already true, because God has already begun from the beginning of creation to lift up those most in need of hearing a word of hope. Now I say all of these things as a bona fide, card-carrying representative of the empire. It's that simple. I am white, I am male, by world standards, I am wealthy. All of the things that the empire says everyone should be. Problem is, God forgot to say that. Somewhere along the way, we got confused. We started to think that God thought this was a good idea. Turns out, in the person of Jesus, something else turns out to be true. The time is ripe, Jesus says. Something new is beginning to percolate up and change, and it happens in the person of Jesus. And at first blush, it seems like it's crazy making. Paul sees this in the first letter to the Corinthians. The message of the cross, this is, by the way, one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And it appears, as we will hear time and time again, that what Jesus is up to seems to be foolishness. It could never work. But sometimes it does. In the early 1990s, this congregation called an intern pastor to come and serve them. It was their first intern, right? This was when the church / empire, which I love, by the way, I'm a part of it, had made some decisions about whether LGBTQ people could serve as pastors in our church. And with a straight face and certainty, we said, no, absolutely not. It breaks our moral code. We can't do that. It breaks the rules. In typical LCH fashion, your response was, So what? You stood behind your intern when the church would not, when the seminary refused. You stood behind this gay man and said, we see the gospel here. And that's all that matters. We see the gospel here. What a thing for a church to say. What were you thinking? For goodness sake. It set into motion a process where you actually spoke to one another and talked to one another and shared together what you thought God was up to in the world. And you made a decision to depart from what was normal and safe and power-based. And you became a reconciling in Christ congregation before people even knew what that was. You were the first Lutheran church in Hawaii to do so. You were one of the earliest to say, it turns out that God loves more people than we thought. And you had to stand against the empire to make it happen. And you paid a price. Some people left. There was anger. And there's nothing harder than seeing people who you love leave your community and go away. But it was no less a price than needed to be paid. Oh, the message of the cross is such foolishness. For Jews and Greeks and all of us, it is just foolishness to stand up for love. Eventually, the church repented. It took years and lots of studying and lots of arguing and lots of tears and lots more people who left. In 1990, when our national church voted to include gay, lesbian, and transgendered people into our roster, our synod lost 50% of its members and about 80% of its funding. The three biggest churches, who's provided most of the funding at the synodical level, which is, for those of you who don't speak Lutheran, that's our, you know, kind of like our head office, regional head office. The three biggest congregations left immediately. And we persevered. At first, we were in grief, and we were angry and sorry, and we chased after them. But eventually, we have come to understand that sometimes, in order for us to be what God is calling us to be, some pruning must happen. And that pruning began to happen. And so all these years later, we are still repenting. We are repenting of the way in which we have been unjust in our racial policies. We are again repenting again and again for our misogyny and all the ways in which we have been unwelcoming. What I wonder for you and for all of us, I wonder what this time is ripe for. What is this time ripe for? The thing about becoming a reconciling in Christ church is not that we've done it and now we can put up the plaque and say we can move on. I loved, in the beginning, this was called reconciled in Christ. And somebody asked the question, "Oh, are we done?" Maybe we're not done yet. So now we are reconciling in Christ. And so we've understood that text, for if since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of that proclamation to save those who believe. And the time is ripe now. The work that was begun so long ago in Jesus, that continued in our church in 1990, we still have a long way to go. And the time is ripe. But I wonder what it's ripe for. What if this is the time? What if this time is ripe for an even more radical welcome? Listen to these words that we heard in the first lesson. You know, we keep thinking that as a church we need to do all of these things and we need to be all this certain way and we need to follow these certain rules and we need to do things and we, you know, God forbid, you know, we should do something different. But it turns out, what does God require of us? Those of you who are biblical freaks, what does the Lord require of you? It's the only thing anybody ever quotes from Micah, by the way, in the Christian church. O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God? You're going to hear an anthem in a little bit. And unfortunately, this is the thing about Lutheran worship. Especially when we broadcast, you can only go so long. So we couldn't add this text. But if we want to think about what a more radical welcome it looks like, this is the last verse, an optional verse for the anthem for today, for gay and for straight, for a place at the table, a covenant shared, a welcoming space, a rainbow of race and gender and color, for gay and straight, the chalice of grace. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy and compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy and peace. Walk humbly with God, we hear this morning. The time is ripe to do so. To walk humbly with God who welcomed the stranger, the outcast, the leper, the misfit, Paul, those caught in adultery, those of every kind. The time is ripe for that. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day. It is an insert in your bulletin.